In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Amen. Well, when I was looking at the parish profile in 2017 for Calvary Episcopal Church, at the heading of every page, it said in different languages, "Wherever you are in your journey of faith, you are welcome here," over and over again. And I knew from that moment on that Calvary is a place that's committed to inclusion. And after the shootings at Squirrel Hill in 2019, that synagogue, our vestry said, let's put it down on paper. I think Bob helped to craft this statement of inclusion that's still on our website, still hanging on the wall here, that we still hold to be true as a parish today. This is the statement of inclusion. Calvary Church believes God's love is not limited by human definition. We honor the grace within every human being. We love all people because God loves all people. We invite every person to join our community without regard to age, color, economic circumstance, religion, ethnic background, sexual orientation, politics, or ability, physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. We follow the way of Jesus and affirm the diversity of people's stories, beliefs, and customs. We believe by Jesus' example, we are called with open hearts and minds to love and serve the community and all people. Well, when I was interviewing for the position of rector at Calvary, I found myself at dinner with many parishioners at a parishioner's home, and we started talking about inclusion. And I recalled a dialogue homily that I'd recently offered at the parish I formerly served, and a big question came up. When it comes to inclusion, where do we draw the line? Around that time, a woman named Kim Davis in Kentucky had started to refuse to issue marriage licenses to gay couples. And I asked the people to whom I was preaching, and these folks around the dinner table, the same question. Both of these groups were insistent on a stance of radical inclusion. So what if Kim Davis showed up and wanted to be part of the service? Do we include her? We have an inevitable human preoccupation with drawing lines between who's in and who's out. Indeed, that's what this parable is about this morning. Now, today's parable, this word from Jesus, it must have been comforting at first to the disciples and followers of Jesus in the face of weed-like opponents of Jesus. Jesus names these folks with their persistent criticisms, challenges, and hostility, saying an enemy has done this, and noting the presence of the weeds growing in the field. How easy it is for us to determine what's wheat and what's weeds. More than 60 years ago, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. described 11 o'clock on Sunday as one of the most segregated hours in Christian America. And that still remains the case. But now it's not just along the lines of race and ethnicity, but also it seems to be along the lines of cultural divides and even personal opinions. I remember in the early 2000s as a young adult in our post 9/11 culture, I found myself longing for a church where the focus was primarily on Jesus and not on a culture war. And I walked into this particular Episcopal parish. And yes, though by virtue of a hard-won battle for inclusion, there was a female priest and a gay priest serving at the altar in this particular parish. The primary focus was on the Word of God proclaimed and the sharing of the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ at the table. And that was so clear from the moment I walked in. And in this particular congregation, I was, you've probably heard this story before, it was like a conversion experience for me. I walked in and I looked around and there were so many different types of people, not just the color of their skin and what they were wearing and their clear by whose hand they were holding identity, sexual identity and orientation. But there were some members who had Catholic inclinations and others who clearly had Protestant inclinations. And I'd never seen anything like that. And I'd hung out with Catholics and Protestants, but never a combination of the two. This was truly a place I felt where all were welcome. And I found out in those first weeks in the Episcopal Church about something called the Via Media. It dates back to the 16th century under Queen Elizabeth. The Church of England was in the middle of a huge culture war that had a lot to do with religion. They were strongly divided on how the church, which had been Roman Catholic up to this point, should proceed in the face of this Protestant revolution. And the Queen declared a settlement that sought a middle way between Protestants and Catholics. And from that Anglicanism, the tradition in which we find ourselves in the Episcopal Church today, unfolded. The roots of our tradition emerged from a divided cultural context. And the willingness to use the gift of human reason and decorum to find a middle way. Now I say decorum, a lot of people, people died over that back then. It took the Queen saying, listen, we are going to find a middle way. John Henry Newman wrote about this middle way. Quote, a hypothesis, a substitute for direct evidence and hard reasoning, is the via media. A possible road lying between a mountain and a morass, to be driven through formidable obstacles, if it is to exist by the boldness and skill of the engineers. It is projected and planned for a definite necessity, the necessity of the Anglican position. Why do we do this? Why don't we draw lines in the sand and hold firm and strong positions that oust out the competition and drive forward the agendas of what we hold to be true and good and right? Why do we welcome everyone and truly mean everyone and keep having to go back and say, do we really mean everyone? We really mean everyone. The parable of the wheat and the weeds gives us such a rich metaphor today for why. First, some of you might know that wheat and tares that Jesus is talking about, they're nearly identical. If you can look, Google a picture of wheat and tares, and they look almost exactly the same. So a farmer could spend an inordinate amount of time trying to discern what is wheat and what is not. And on top of that, when you start pulling up the tares out of a field like this, you stand a good chance of pulling up wheat right along with it, the way it all grows together. There's a theologian named Theodore Wardlaw who wrote, quote, Jesus has a strategy in these words of restraint that pushes ways from premature clarity regarding such matters of discernment and makes room for holy and purposeful ambiguity, end quote. This is a blessed picture of wheat and weeds growing together. This realm, this kingdom reality is thriving in us, around us, and even miraculously, sometimes through us. And God is pleased to let all of it grow together until the harvest. All of this has a critical bearing on our life in the world around us. In a society where people seem to gather in clusters of predetermined positions, often based in popular opinion or yard signs or sound bites or flags, we're a church whose faith and beliefs are informed by scripture, tradition, and reason. Next Sunday, vestry member Ann Sessler is bringing an informative look at issue one, the proposed constitutional amendment in Ohio. And we're gonna look together at facts that have been reported about this issue and then share in civil discourse. Some churches are taking hard stances as a body or coalition on this particular issue and on issues in general. We are taking the approach of the via media. We are thinking Christians who are not only fed at a holy table and then gather at that table and believe that two or three gathering in Jesus' name allows the Holy Spirit to lead us into more comprehensive understandings and informed insights. Two or three or more people with different ideas. What a thought. And we go into the world and we act on the insights we glean together. I'm really grateful to Anne, to the vestry, to the staff, to you as a parish community for being part of a church that believes through inclusion of a variety of ideas and persons, the kingdom of God thrives. As we move through these weeks of parables about the coming reign of God, let us remember, as the Reverend Patrick Wilson preached nearly half a decade ago, Jesus did not say his kingdom was a rock, fixed and solid and firm and unchanging. Jesus did not say that the kingdom was like a giant machine, and that you put some things in and you get some things out, and that what you get out depends on what you put in. No, he said it was like an enormous tree that grows out of a tiny seed. A tree that grows so enormous that all the birds of the air come and find shelter in its branches, even strange little ducks like you and me. He said that God was like a housewife who puts just a smidgen of yeast in the three measures of flour, and that yeast yields its life into a whole batch of dough. That is the way the kingdom is, growing from the very beginning into all God has intended. From the foundation of the world, the very first moment of creation, it is the kingdom that has been on God's mind. And God is infinitely patient as it grows, wheat, weeds, and all. Amen.